When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
You absolutely know someone. Everybody knows someone who's looking at their stuff, who's thinking, I can't do it. I don't have all the money, or I'm single, or no one's going to do this because I'm not Christian, or whatever the excuses you've told yourself in your head. This is why I tell people, post about what we do, because someone, you're going to change someone's life by just educating them that we're here. And we are saying, yes, we're empowering you to ask us for money, for help. We're not shaming you to ask for help. We're saying, come on. This
ask
is cool.
Us for help.
It's okay to ask for help. We've got you on this one. We're going to help you become parents.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm Jamie. I'm your gay host. And this is the show, the only show, I believe, out there that whose mission is to highlight, celebrate, uplift, and normalize LGBTQIA plus families in all of our beautiful identities, y'all. And this is actually the second episode of a series that I've titled Nicole and Shannon Want a Baby, or Do They? Because Nicole and Shannon are still on. Nicole, my beautiful assistant, Nicole, who I talk about all the time, the one who says, roll that tape. This is the Nicole we're talking about. And her beautiful wife, Shannon. They were in last week's episode. So if you haven't listened to that, go listen to that first, because this is where we introduce them and we talk about how they're still not sure if they want to have a baby, even though Nicole has been working on this here show for over 2 years because she wanted to figure out if she wanted to have a baby back then. And so we're doing a little mini series where we're interviewing different folks or different organizations that help us on our paths to parenthood so that we can help them hone in on the path they would want to take if they went about having a child, and then also figure out or help them figure out. I am their gay auntie fairy who is guiding them from the sidelines, so to speak, on their journey. And we're going to hopefully find out if this is something we want to do or not. And they, you know, if they want to live that child-free lifestyle, which is probably full of so much great stuff, or if they want to be boggled down by kids. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's a tough decision. It is a tough decision. I'm making light of it. But sometimes I think about what Anne and I would be doing if we didn't have these two children to take care of all the time. I feel like we would have been around the world and back again five times. But we probably wouldn't. So anyway, that's what this little mini series is. And today, it's a good one. We are kind of honing in on the adoption route as a path to parenthood, which, as y'all know, is a very viable path for us queer folks and one that many, many queer folks take to creating their families. We're going to hit the series off with the adoption route and the questions surrounding that. And we're speaking with a woman named Becky Fawcett, who is the founder of Help Us Adopt, which is a nonprofit that provides financial grants to help families cover adoption costs. Amazing, right? Amazing. Because as we all know, as queer folks, if we're going to make a family, there's going to be some money involved in most instances. And so if I can help you with some resources to help you take the path you want to, I am all about it. So I'm really excited for y'all to listen to Becky. Becky has two adopted children herself and is really walking the walk when it comes to families like hers and also LGBTQIA plus families like ours. She's out there to help us. And I love interviewing someone who really is out there to do good in the world because I think it's important, don't you? It's a great little convo. I'm very excited. And before I roll that tape, I do have to let y'all know that I've been doing a little bit more on Patreon lately. I'm adding more behind the scenes stuff. I was burnt out for a long time with all the things that I do as this one woman show, all the things that go into making a podcast were wearing me down. And I let Patreon slip by the wayside a little bit, I'm being honest, but I'm back at it and I'm putting a lot more behind the scenes stuff up because Patreon has actually made it a lot easier to post videos there. So you're going to hear some of my thoughts on get some of our guests, some behind the scenes stuff there, and some behind the scenes stuff of just my family life, which is always chaotic and cuckoo-cachoo. So if you're interested in any of that, you just go to patreon.com. You pick a tier, whatever works for you, and you're going to get the bonus content and you're going to get most video episodes dropped a day early. So check it out. Check it. Don't forget to follow me on all the socials at the Queer Family Podcast, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. Ooh, Facebook is pissing me off lately. I don't know if you're on my socials, y'all, but I did just post a post about how almost every post that I put on Facebook lately gets the most crazy amount of trolls, hateful, hateful, mean trolls. I can't even tell you. I must have hit some algorithm or somebody shared me in a hate group or something. But the things that people are, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of really awful comments are being thrown at this little podcast on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, feel free to give a follow and add some positive comments to the mix because, woo, it's crazy. I can't even, I'm trying to figure out how to complain to Facebook and Meta. Can't figure it out. There's nobody to talk to. So it just feels like either I'm going to take down Facebook and get rid of it, or I'm just going to have to live with the trolls. Because I wouldn't even be able to like report and block all of them because there's so many. It would take me hours. So anyway, that's what's happening over there. But go ahead and check it out. And also YouTube. Watch those video episodes. Okay, it's time to roll the tape. I don't need to keep talking here because the nitty gritty, the good stuff is at the other side of the tape. We're going to roll the tape. I'm going to have Helen and Beulah do it because Nicole's in the interview. And we're going to find out if adoption is the right path for Nicole and Shannon. What do we think? What do we think? All right, Helen, Beulah, Helen, you got to get up. I know. You got to put the cigarette down. Please, just put the cigarette. You're not supposed to smoke in the house anyway. Thank you. Thank you, Helen. Helen's going to roll the tape. You know Helen's not real, y'all. I am talking to the wall right now. But I have to amuse myself somehow. Helen, I know. Okay, now she's like, I have my finger here. I'm ready. I want to roll the tape. Okay, Helen, let's roll that tape. Have a good time, y'all. Love ya.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, Jamie. I'm so glad to be here.
Me too. And Nicole and Shannon are here. Hi, Nicole and Shannon.
Hello, Jamie.
Hi.
We are talking all about the adoption route today for Nicole and Shannon because I keep pushing them to have a child some way. So... Without further ado, Becky, I am going to ask for your 30-second elevator pitch. On your mark, get set, go.
All right. I'm Becky Fawcett. I often call myself the infertile blonde. I adopted both my girls domestically. I started helpusadopt.org, not really on purpose, but yes, on purpose. I had a PR firm, never intended to do this with my life, spent every penny I had to bring my first daughter home. Wanted to give back to an adoption grant program and then got pissed off because 17 or 18 years ago, the existing grant programs and still many of them today believe that a family is a heterosexual white man married to a white woman worshiping a Christian God. Oof. And I happen to be a heterosexual white woman married to a heterosexual—that is, I don't think that I am the definition of family. I don't believe that. I never believed that, and I was so pissed off that other groups of people weren't being helped 18 years ago that I created the nation's only equality-based adoption grant program, and that's why we're here today.
Boom, Becky, that was amazing. You did go slightly over, but that's okay.
I tend to go over. Yeah. It is no surprise.
Listen, you had a lot to get in there, and that is amazing. We forgive you for being non-queer, Okay. And that is one of my favorite things I think I've ever heard a non-queer say. That was beautiful.
Started as the right thing to do has now become personal because I'm the mother to an LGBT child. So it has now become
a child.
Something that is here in my home every day with one of the people I love the most. And I don't know if she's going to have kids or not in her lifetime, but I want to know that an organization like Help Us Adopt is around. I want to make sure that the work we do lives on beyond me for future generations.
I love that. And you are a member of the L'Egyptquois community because you are a parent of L'Egyptquois. Yeah.
My daughter tries to tell me I'm not. And I'm like, well, I'm a member of the adoption community and I'm a mom to you. So I'm pretty sure this makes me part of the LGBT community. And she's like, well, you're really not. And I'm like, look, I am, and you're going to have to get over it.
You got to love kids, right? You got to love kids. This is really amazing. And it is very similar to the whole, like, to my story and why this podcast exists. I got angry too, because I couldn't find stories like mine out there. So, you know, came from a personal struggle and you've created something really amazing out of it. Can you go into just a little bit more about the logistics of what you do?
Yeah, it's pretty great. I mean, it really is pretty great. Like, the three groups that are underserved in the adoption community is people of color, single parents, which is predominantly women. Few men are getting braver and heading down this road on their own, which I love to see. And then the LGBT community. And so I get up every day and use my crazy, fiery personality to go be an advocate for groups that I don't belong in, technically. And I find it to be the most rewarding and invigorating work because I'm so happy to be an advocate. And I'm so happy to knock on doors and raise money and, you know, educate people that number one, adoption is important. But number two, we aren't being viewed globally as just a world of parents, period. And that's what my whole thing is. Like, I just don't care who you love. I don't care who you worship. I don't care what you look like. If you want to be a parent and you're having trouble affording adoption, I have raised a little bit of money. This year, it's $1.6 million we're giving away. Wow. And I want to give it away. And I want to give more away to the LGBT community. And everybody tells me, well, you're never going to get the numbers you want because you're straight. Well, I don't believe that. I think that's a cop-out answer, if you want my opinion. So I love to do podcasts like this. I love to do LGBT outreach because I can't give more money to the LGBT community without the applications coming in the door. Right. So we need to educate to say, yes, you can adopt as an LGBT single, as a couple, it doesn't matter. If you're listening to this and think, no, I can't, no, I can't, please email us. We'll
help because, so I have a couple questions then. I had a question, I'm going to put that question to the side about the cost of adoption because you just brought me to, do you have, it sounds like you help folks find adoption agencies or places where they can adopt, because I imagine that there are some queer folks, some places in the country who have been told no at certain places.
That's not what we do.
No.
But because I'm a little type A and a little like, I don't like hearing the word no, and I know other people settle for it. I don't ever settle for hearing the word no. So I always tell people, like, especially in the LGBT community, you are going to hear the word no. I hate to say it. I really do hate to say it. But if you're struggling, email us. It's not what we do, but I can send you in the right direction. I cannot tell you what agency to choose, but I can at least tell you where you can call and an LGBT-friendly person will pick up the phone, which is a lot nicer than the opposite. When I started this organization 18 years ago, there were 9 states where LGBT adoption was illegal. And I am happy to say that that is no longer real. But I gave a grant once to a woman who told us she was a single woman because she was terrified. And then I've become friends with her over the years. She's in a long-term relationship.
I'm like,
wait a minute. And she's like, I was so scared that I wasn't going to become a mom. So my lawyer told me that I had to adopt as a single straight woman. And I'm like, this is awful. It's awful that she was told that.
I talked to somebody who lived in New York City who did that, a lesbian who was in a long-term relationship, did the same thing, And I talked to somebody in Japan, a couple in Japan, who had to put down a husband's name. And there were a couple, but they went in as a single, one of them went in as a single parent, and they put their cat's name down as their husband.
I love that. Well, my famous thing, my kids know it, it's the truth. I'm like, be who you are, be who you are. And at helpusadopt.org, we live for that. So yeah. If you're struggling and thinking, I can't find an adoption professional, or you've been told gay people can't adopt, please don't listen. Please email helpusadopt.org. We will at least talk to you and get you on the right road.
Steer you.
Yeah, because that's ridiculous. No one should be told that. There are plenty of adoption professionals who work within the LGBT community, and Lord knows there are plenty of children that need to come home. So
yeah,
don't accept no, unless... I always say, if you decide you don't want to be a parent, that's cool too. And we will support you in that decision to be childless. That is, if that's the right decision for you, then that's the right decision for you.
Well, you can say that, Becky. I'm still going to push them to become parents. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I have one question, and then I'll turn the floor over to Nicole and Shannon, and that y'all can really dig deep in there. What is the cost of adoption on average? I have no idea because I did donor conception and I don't know the full cost.
It's hard to give you a perfect answer because there's no current research on adoption. No one cares, to be blunt. No one cares. So there's no real current research. So
it's like women's health care.
Yeah, exactly.
Queer studies.
I believe from what I see in 18 years of getting people's cost and from the crummy research that is online, that the average adoption costs about $50,000.
Wow.
Now, the last couple of years between COVID and inflation, we are seeing a lot of $70,000 adoptions. So I'm a little at war at the moment because that's not okay. And it's just not okay. But it really can be done for $40,000 or $50,000, but it's not easy. It's just not easy.
And where does the money, so what is it, who's it paying? What is that all paying for?
So there's two ways. Let's talk about domestic adoption primarily for the LGBTQ community, because you can adopt internationally through, I believe it's Colombia and South Africa, I believe are the two international countries where LGBT can adopt from. Mm-hmm. International is a big no most of the time to this community, unfortunately. So most people adopt domestically with a birth mother situation. And you can adopt with an adoption attorney or an adoption agency. The quick preface before I get into the exact cost is adoption agencies give you this big fee. You have to ask what that includes because it's not transparent at all. And it is not all-inclusive, trust me. If you don't listen to anything else I have to say, please do not sign on the dotted line until you know what that big nut, because some of them will tell you their fee is $50,000 and you're still $20,000 from the finish line. There's just no way that you're going to come in for under 70 and you didn't ask the right question. Adoption attorneys, any day of the week, an attorney legally must be transparent. If an attorney takes $100 from you, an attorney must provide an accounting of that $100. Agencies, it gets a little scary these days when people are raising their rates because why? What is it going to? What is it? So this is why it's so expensive. Besides the fact that the agencies and the attorneys set their own fees, that's another fact. Adoptive parents pay for everything. We pay for everything. The birth mother, she can't hire an attorney, but she needs an attorney.
Yeah.
So I have an attorney. She has an attorney. I write both checks.
Yeah.
She needs a social worker. I need a social worker. I write both checks.
Right.
Then once you're matched, you pay for her living support. And there are parameters around that. And it is money well spent, in my opinion. You want to make sure this lovely, lovely woman on the other end of this, who's pregnant with the child that she has chosen you to parent, is taken care of. And if she's not in a situation where she can't put herself in a safe place to live with enough food in the refrigerator, then you take care of that as the adoptive parent. If she needs counseling, you take care of that as the adoptive parent. At any rate, there are a lot of fees, but the bottom line is, and a good adoption professional should be very calm and take the time to go through those fees with you. If they do not, red flag. red flag. You're out. You're out.
You're out.
You're out.
Okay.
Anybody
okay,
you give $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to needs to, for anything in life, needs to tell you what that means.
It feels just extra unfair because in this community, we have to rely on others to make our families for the most part,
yes.
most of the time.
Yes. Yeah.
Most of the time, we have to bring in outsiders to yeah. create our families. And it really sucks that I have been doing this for 7 years, this podcast, and I've spoken to a lot of folks who've adopted, and I did not realize it was that much. I always thought that like going the fertility route would be more expensive than adoption, which I am sorry to say, not always, depends, but not always.
Not always. Huh. And there's foster care and foster to adopt, which
right.
I'm not an expert on it, but I will give you my elevator pitch on what I know. So number one, the foster care system was not designed to adopt the children out. That is a fact. That mm-hmm. is a fact. The foster care system is designed when a child is in a family that has a turbulent moment and the child needs to be removed and put into a safe zone and for the turbulent moment to pass through and resolve itself. And then the child goes back. That is foster care. Now, is there a thing called foster to adopt? Yes. However, nothing's as easy as everybody tells you it is. And there's no such thing as a free lunch in this world, period. So the bottom line is there are some older children in foster care that their rights have already been relinquished. But like I always say, not everybody is equipped to adopt a teenager. And I like to tell people in adoption, as I will to Nicole and Jen, and like, there are many different ways you can do this, and you have to find the way that is comfortable to you, that makes you feel good, that makes you think I can deal with these limitations, or I can't deal with it. I won't mm-hmm. be successful here. The child won't be living in a successful environment. We're not equipped to deal with that. And I
yeah.
think with the foster to adopt, like people just really, it's not fair. Usually it's people pointing the fingers and judging who have never adopted anyway. That's the first thing. But you have to know what you're dealing with. And we've had a lot of, I've met people through Help Us Adopts work who they've tried to do foster care because they knew they didn't have $50,000, $60,000, $70,000.
Right.
And they've had like six children removed from their home
yeah.
that they were told they were going to adopt. And they're like, we're not getting any younger. And they were heartbroken six times.
It's
and
heartbreaking.
I can't even imagine that heartbreak. And what are we going to do? We're going to end up childless because we waited too long. And we're trying to do this, what we thought was the right way. And the system's not working for us. And the answer is the system is not set up for adoption as its first choice. That's not what it is set up for. So,
yeah, it's important to keep that in mind. And I have spoken to a couple of people who have used foster to adopt and actually ended up adopting their child. And yeah. I have also spoken to some folks who used foster to adopt and had to send those babies back.
And it depends where you live in the country too. Like some parts of the Midwest, I've heard it's very easy to foster to adopt younger children, but you know, it all depends. There's just variables. So,
and you have to know exactly like what you said, Becky,
yeah.
you have to know what you can handle and you have
yeah.
to have a thick skin for that one. You have to
yeah.
have thick skin for any of these paths,
yeah.
to
yeah.
be honest, but that one can be extremely heartbreaking. They all can be, but so adoption costs can cost a pretty penny. And that is where you come in, Becky.
Yes. So we give grants. So people who are already in the system, like they've gotten their home study, they've signed up with their adoption attorney or agency. They know they've been given a ballpark of what their adoption is going to cost, like $54,000. And maybe they've saved 30 and they have 24 outstanding. We give grants up to 20 and they'll apply to us to close the gap.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just, it's great. You send in your application and we give money six times a year. We're just awarded $300,000 yesterday to 28 more families across the country. And our next, we have deadlines every 2 months, there's deadlines and grants awarded. And, you know,
that's
we mean business. Like this is no joke. This may have started at my kitchen table 17 years ago, but now no, it's no joke.
Good for you.
We're both leaning in closer. Because I didn't know this was an option for us.
Yeah. No, I yeah. didn't know that something like this existed out there. And I think it's just absolutely wonderful. And it needs to be a resource on my, you know, everywhere. Like everybody
yeah,
needs to know
everywhere.
About this.
And I tell that to like some of my gay friends are like, I'm like, you need to post for me. They're like, well, I don't want people to think I'm adopting. I'm like, oh yeah, God forbid. I mean, come on. You absolutely know someone, everybody knows someone who's looking at their stuff, who's thinking, I can't do it. I don't have all the money, or I'm single, or no one's going to do this because I'm not Christian, or whatever the excuses you've told yourself in your head. This is why I tell people, post about what we do, because someone, you're going to change someone's life by just educating them that we're here. And we are saying, yes, we're empowering you to ask us for money, for help. We're not shaming you to ask for help. We're saying, come on. This
ask
is cool.
Us for help.
It's okay to ask for help. We've got you on this one. We're going to help you become parents.
It's such a huge piece. Like when we're talking about potentially having kids, how could we do it financially? And I think a lot of like our conversation goes to like, we wouldn't be able to right now. So will we not get to be parents?
Right.
And that like that breaks my heart. And we talk about that a lot.
Yeah, I think especially like as a queer couple, like you were saying, Jamie, like IVF, any route you take, a huge chunk of your savings right there, right? Mm-hmm. Before your child is even born or before you adopt your child, right?
If you even have savings, right?
Yeah.
Yes. That's so, it. And that's why we exist, because I tell people all the time, I mean, listen, I've been at dinners where I turn to the person next to me. I'm like, well, what do you have in your savings account right now? Like, I know you just planned your Italy trip for the summer, but what can you write a check for $50,000 and live without 70,000. It next week?
Exactly.
Like, people can't do that. Even wildly successful people can't do that. Yeah. So this sort of money cloud that weighs on people makes them feel inadequate and makes them feel like less than, that I can't do this. And that is something I don't want to ever see again in my lifetime. I want to keep raising money to tell people, like, look, you live a great day-to-day life, but a lot of people don't have $50,000 or $60,000. Mm-hmm. And you don't grow up thinking, I'm going to adopt. I need to. You grow up thinking, I need to save money for a house. I need to save money for my education, possibly a wedding, which that's all changing anyway, and possibly my retirement if I can get to that account too. But you never think I need to have hundreds of thousands of dollars for childbearing years for all these issues. So it catches us all off guard. And I want to relieve that for people. I don't want people to have that stress in their life.
Yeah. I would amend it to, actually, some queer folks actually do grow up thinking they will adopt because they know they're going to need help at some point. And then, you know, so then adoption becomes the route, like they think in their head at the age of 5 or whatever. Sometimes that does happen.
I think that's happening more now because people are coming out younger and society has changed that's totally great. But when I run into a lot of people who are older, they're like, I was married to a woman. Like, I'll talk to a man and they're like, I didn't know I knew it wasn't right, but I didn't know why it wasn't right. And I didn't come out till my 30s. And I thought I was going to miss out on parenthood because, you know, so I think it is definitely changing.
But it is true. And also you just don't know how hard it's going to be. And you just don't know how long your road is going to be, no matter what path, you know, you're going to take.
Yeah. And some people, especially I'm going to say only because I'm a female in the lesbian community, want to be pregnant. And that wasn't something that I particularly cared about. But there are definitely, I have friends who adopted who really felt gypped because I just wanted it to be normal and easy and be like everybody else. Now I love walking a different walk. But back then I just was like, whatever. But I have friends who specifically felt that the bump and the giving birth was what was really going to make them be a woman in this world. And they are still not okay with that, missing that moment. Wow. And that I think we also need to talk about because a lot of pressure on that. And it doesn't always work, you know, and regardless of your sexual orientation, being a female does not always mean you're going to get pregnant easily.
Yes. I will add to it too, that also the non-bio connection, a lot of folks get hung up on that. I myself did with my wife giving birth to our first and then me going through infertility and thinking I wasn't going to be able to ever carry a child. I was so hung up on that non-bio connection.
Yeah.
You know, and that's normal.
It's totally normal.
Come to find out though, also it doesn't matter. And I've learned that being a mother, but you know what I mean? So you have to also, Nicole and Shannon, you have to weigh what's important to you when you pick the path you're going to go down.
That's interesting you both say that, because we've talked about that. That would never cross my mind, Becky, like you said, having like a bump, having a baby that like have no need, no interest, no biological urge for that. That's why we've talked about adoption. I don't think I'd feel more of a connection to our child either if it was biological. But Nicole has very much, I think, been like you, Jada, that I want to be pregnant, and yeah. I feel like I'd have that extra connection, but that has never crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. Even when I was younger, I've always thought about adoption. I don't, mm-hmm. I mean, there's no difference, but that's been something that's been on your mind. Yeah.
These are the questions we got to ask ourselves.
I think it's amazing. And listen, I was 19 years ago, 20 years ago, doing the IVF and everything and realizing it was not going to work. I got pregnant 3 times and I had 3 miscarriages.
Sorry.
And no one was talking about this. So like, I think these conversations, Nicole and Shannon, you can tell me if you think I'm nuts, but like, just hearing 2 other women saying we were worried about the biological connection, and then once we experienced it, we're like, oh God, it's the love of a child. Like it's, right. This has been looked at the wrong way for all these years. It's not the bio connection. It's the mother child connection. Yeah. And that is it. It's your commitment to this child that you're here and but no one was talking about this 20 years ago. So of course we all went through these paths in our life, terrified.
Existential emotional crises for no reason.
What was coming around the corner, right? Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, I was so held up on, you know, I have my grandfather's nose and I have my dad's teeth.
Right.
And I have my mother's hands. And I was like, I want that. And my girls, if I were to show you, I'll show you guys a picture after this, but like Jane looks like she came out of my body, and Brooke looks like she came out of my body with my husband's gene set. And Brooke looks like my sister. I mean, Jane's birth mother looks like me. Brooke's birth mother looks like my sister. Like, it's crazy how the world works.
You've seen my kids, Nicole and Shannon, and my daughter that I did not give birth to gets people on. They'll stop us on the street. You two are just the spitting image of each other. And then my daughter and I have a laugh, you know. Yeah. You know? And then like people will be like, oh my God, she is just the carbon copy of you. And he must be all dad.
Yeah. All dad.
Yeah. And then we all have a laugh about that. Yeah. But, and I'm the one who, he has my genetic, I have that genetic tie to him. So it's just, you know, it all works out in the end. But these are the important questions that we have to ask ourselves. Let's assume Nicole and Shannon have decided they're going to go down the adoption path, and they're at the point where they're, you know, they're basically having this scenario you laid out a little bit earlier, Becky, where they've gone through all the steps and they're ready and they need some extra money. So what does the application look like? What is the process?
Made it so easy. And that's what also makes us great, because just as other people in the adoption world in general are not transparent, we are, because why bother? Like, let's just make life easy for people. So you go on our website, helpusadopt.org, and there are some very clear buttons of like, oh, want to apply? Yeah. You click there. It will give you the guideline page about our grants. It will give you the deadlines and the cycles. It will give you the FAQ page. And I always tell people, I would love someone to come up with a question we haven't covered, because I never think we're perfect. I hate that word. Mm-hmm. I think our page is pretty good with the questions. But again, someone can always tell us you haven't covered it. And then the application is online. There's no application fee. Other grant organizations charge that. That drives me crazy too. And as I said, we give the largest grants out there, up to $20,000 right now. You fill out the application and then you write a personal statement. And nothing in the application, once you've done a home study, nothing we ask is any more invasive than that. Like, there's just nothing.
Is it similar questions or?
Yeah, the financial part like is really fine. It's finances. Like, we have to prove, you have to prove financial need to us. And it's not just based on what you make. It's like, because sometimes there's costs. We're a national organization. So if we get a grant applicant in New York City, the salary is going to be a lot higher than someone in Montana. They could be two very, you know, extreme cases. It's just going to look differently on paper. We read every application that comes in the door. We do not have like benchmarks where you just get thrown out the window. We read everybody because you never know what the hidden gem is in the story, right? And the adoption is about our lives, and it's about our struggle to become parents. And there's a personal statement. And I always tell people, take your time, use our word limit for your personal statement. Let us get to know you.
Sorry to interrupt, but if you go through the adoption route, you have to create a personal book anyway, right? Yeah. So this is all stuff that's kind of, you've already hopefully have worked through and thought of what you're going to say and how you would answer things. And
yeah. And you know, this is it. And sometimes we get, I won't lie to you, we get $14 million of requests a year. And right now we're giving away 1.66 million. And some people are like, well, I'm never going to apply because I won't get chosen. I'm like, well, someone's getting chosen.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes other people are getting chosen right now because their situations are actually happening. The baby's on its way. It's being born. And sometimes we tell people, you're too early. Come back. Apply next cycle. And then we'll see how this progresses. And we've given grants to people who have applied three times. And they're then finally further aligned. And you don't have to redo the application if you apply again. It's saved on the online form and you can update. So we really have tried to make this like, I really feel that we work for you, the grant application. Applicants. Like we are here to serve this community of people and make your life better if we can. I wish I had $15 million to give away. I'm getting there. I'm working on it every day. But, you know, we're really here to not only make the place, the world a better place for these children who need homes, but these people who are saying, I want to be a parent.
Yeah, we need you to work to do that for fertility care next.
I know.
Becky, you're not already spread so thin. Like, okay.
Well, the fertility care, you know, I am at war a little bit with the fertility world. And the not that I don't believe in it, because I would be a hypocrite if I said that.
Right.
I'm at war with the fertility world because there's 8 million people a year who are infertile and seeking care. And there's statistics on that, not on adoption, but there's statistics, because that's a real money maker, the fertility care.
Uh-huh.
The most successful doctors only have a 50% live birth rate. That's a fact, too. That's a lab fact, science fact. So my beef with the IVF community is, what are we doing about the people you can't help? Like, where's the bridge? Build a bridge with me. I know a lot of people going through IVF don't want to hear the word adoption because that was me. Mm-hmm. But someone might have to. I had to. If I hadn't opened my mind to adoption, I would have been childless and I would have missed out on these two amazing humans that live under my roof. So it took me a while, but I wish there was a better bridge between, and there's people in infertility who run out of money, right? Like they don't have $100,000 to spend on infertility. So I wish there was a better counseling bridge. And during COVID, when I had way too much time on this couch where I'm sitting today, I tried to build one with the IVF world and they don't like me. They did not like me coming because I'm like, I'm not trying to take your money away. And I'm not trying to tell people not to do IVF. But there are plenty of people who get to the end of the road and need to jump.
And they need that support.
And they don't have the support. They don't have someone saying, this is what a lawyer does and this is what an agency does.
Right.
You know, and all these things. So I just want to just, honestly, it sounds so trite, but it really is true. And if you knew me, you'd be like, yeah, she's really authentic. I just want to help people become parents if that's what they want.
I love it.
That's all I want to do at the end of the day. And maybe they'll send me a baby picture. That would be great. But, you know, it really is so simple to help people through this process. You just have to share your information.
I love it. I love that. Do you two have any questions for Becky, like regarding any of this?
Or fears. We can talk about fears of adoption because that's a big one. And you won't offend me.
I was just wondering, like, any of the queer couples that you've worked with, like, do they circle back and like chat with you about like what it looked like after they adopted their baby?
We really keep in touch with our grant recipients. We now have, I think, 700. We just got new numbers and I've already lost them. We have like over 750 helpusadopt.org grant recipient families to date now. And we have a private Facebook group where we talk with them, and we just tomorrow night, we're doing a Zoom family reunion with them. And, you know, it's just great to watch their kids grow up. And I'm friends with a lot of people on Facebook, and they send us stories throughout the year, and they'll send us Halloween pictures. And, you know, it's been really exciting to talk to the families when they tell us, you're the only one who would have helped us, whether that be a woman of color, a single woman of color, a Jewish family, LGBT family. You know, to me, I'm like, great. Okay, this is why I'm so tired. This is why some days I get punched in the face for being, as some people, you're really liberal, aren't you? Some people say to me, I'm like, when did that become a bad thing? You know,
I know, same.
You know, and some days I really have terrible things said to me, but I know we're doing the right thing. I know this fight is the right fight every day. And some days it is exhausting. So then when I get the baby picture or the couple, we have an interracial gay male couple who, they love us, and they've been in our video at events, and they don't live near New York. Otherwise I would have them come speak at one of our events, but they're like, no one wanted to help us. Look at us.
I'm
like,
I think you're
beautiful. I
think you're beautiful. Like I think this is terrific. And you know, they have their kids. So like, it's just great. I can't tell you. It's very happy work.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's parenthood. It's parenthood. Yeah. And we're all in this together. I say that all the time. Once you start building your family in an alternative way, I'm sorry, we're all in this together. Like,
we're very all connected. Well,
we're,
you know,
all in this together.
And the L'Egyptois community has a lot in common with the adoption community, because we have a lot of the same fears surrounding creating our families. We really do. And there needs to be a bridge with that too. And I think actually what you're doing does help to bridge that a bit, bring us all together, closer together. I think it's amazing. I think this is great to know about, and I'm happy to know it. I wish I had known about you in 2020 when my two guy friends were trying to adopt, and it took them, and it was taking so long. They couldn't get matched, and money was just being poured down the tube.
Yeah, it's really hard. And I just, through my weird connections, I got introduced to someone probably like 2 months ago who said he knew a single Black gay man in Atlanta. And this man had enough money to afford adoption, but had been trying to find an adoption professional to work with him for a year and a half, and kept getting.
Wow.
And I heard that story and I was like, excuse me.
That's awful.
And the person said, yeah, can you help? And I go, yeah. And in 15 minutes, I'm like, are you ready to take down this number? Call this agency, ask for this person. He will be helped. Like, this is not a hard, maybe I'm a unicorn, I don't know, but this is not a hard problem to solve. You just have to take the extra step. And again, I don't like hearing the word no ever.
Right.
So,
and you need to know how to raise money, which you seem to know how.
There's no way that man in Atlanta is going to not have his dream of fatherhood fulfilled on my watch. And I have nothing to do with him. That was me going outside of the lines. You know what I mean? But, and hopefully he'll keep in touch. Hopefully I will get a baby picture when he brings this kid home. I can't handle people who won't go the extra step to help someone who doesn't know how to help themselves.
You're a good person to have on your team. I'll tell you that much. So everybody at home, everybody listening, Becky is on your team. Reach out, find it. Yes, Becky, where can everybody find Help Us Adopt and all the things?
So Help Us Adopt is on, you know, social media. We're on Instagram and Facebook primarily, and LinkedIn. We do not like Twitter, because Twitter in the adoption community is very, very mean. And that's not what I'm going to deal with on a regular basis. So
I feel you.
You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram, Becky Snyder Fawcett. I'll talk to anybody. As long as you're being kind, I will talk to anybody. And you can send me messages. You can ask us questions at info@helpusadopt.org. If you can't find an adoption professional, we're just here to support this community. And yes, you can become parents through adoption, period. This is real. It's real.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of people who will help you become parents. And if you can't figure that part out, let us know. We'll point you in the right direction. Seriously.
We might be calling you, Becky. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, where my fear would be, can we?
You know where to find me. And if you think of a question after this, like, let us know. Like, we're here.
It's all going to be in the show notes of this here episode, so everybody can check that out too. And there'll be links and stuff. But yeah, seek the help, y'all, because it's out there.
Listen, we are telling you to ask us for money.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's what we want to hear.
Please ask us for money. I mean, I'm raising all this money. Where are the people? No, we have plenty of applications, but the LGBT community specifically is very underserved. And that's why I'm here today talking about this. This is why we go out of our way to look for outlets to spread this message to this community, because for some reason, you guys aren't getting the message. And so here we are.
Well, I'm glad you found us. So you will always be a resource that I mention from now on. So I really appreciate you doing this work, Becky, and like fighting the good fight.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate your work too. And it's great.
This has been awesome.
And so fun.
I am so happy to know you, Becky. And
thank
I'm glad
you.
You're fighting this fight. Don't go anywhere, folks, because Nicole and Shannon share their thoughts on what they learned from Becky in this episode and what they think about the adoption route in general after a quick break. Stay tuned.
Queer Family Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Yeah, I didn't think adoption would be an option for us just because of finances. And that's the same thing that I think about
IVF
or IUI. Like, how could we afford having a kid? And that's what takes having a baby off the table for me and for us.
Yeah.
So the fact that like her company, we could potentially put in an application, and because we are part of the LGBTQIA community, could potentially
work in your favor.
Work in our favor. Like, that's huge.
It's good to know that's there.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting to think about like other lesbian couples that are our age that are like in the same position that we're in, mm-hmm. of like, do we have kids? Because that's what we speak to with our friends. Like, can we have kids physically and can we have kids financially?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the financial piece is so big.
Yeah. Doesn't it suck knowing that, like, I mean, not everyone, but a lot of straight couples, it's just the hospital bill.
Yep.
I know.
If even. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know. It's just.
It's so discouraging.
It is, but it's nice to, like you just said, like, nice to feel like you're not alone in this. Like, you're not the only ones. And you, my friends, are helping a lot of people by putting this all in podcast form. So there's that too. You're helping others feel less alone. Oh my God. Yes. I could cry.
You might have a baby soon, Jamie.
Oh my God.
Afterwards, we might be like, okay, we're doing adoption.
Don't get me excited. I was excited to shop for sperm for you. I still might shop for sperm just so we can have all options open.
We still need to open up our California cryo bank.
I know.
You need to start love, so we can start looking at some sperm.
That can be a whole series on social media while we're on hiatus. I'm just saying.
That would be so fun. We need to just sit down and do it. We just haven't had a second.
But I really liked her though. I just felt she was very positive, very informative. Exactly. I was grateful to hear her perspective about adopting from like the foster care system, the state agency, mm-hmm. and everything, because I've always been like, I was saying, like, I don't know, a little bit concerned about like private adoption and just concerns around that in ethics. But she is true. I used to work in foster care. It's not set up for adoption. It shouldn't be, right? It's set up to provide families with support while they're, you know, their families or their parents are figuring out, some concerns, and then the child gets to go home to their parents. It's not set up for adoption.
Yeah.
And it people do adopt, and that's great, but then there's so many complications and concerns that come through it versus adoption agencies, it's parents, biological parents are going there specifically. Mm-hmm. Was happy to hear her perspective because, I mean, she also, her kids are adopted, so she also has that personal.
Yeah. As well, so. Yeah, she's got a lot of great perspectives. So you got, y'all should reach out if you have any more questions.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah,
I did. You have a baby.
Oh my God, we're getting excited. We're getting excited.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in. And I'll see you next time. Mwah.